We'll start off the show today, joined by Joe Healy of D1Baseball.com. Arkansas and South Carolina begin their series tomorrow over in Columbia. The Gamecocks 0-3 in SEC play. They've lost five in a row. Joe, appreciate you being here. What's been the problem with South Carolina?
They've been numerous at times. The biggest one is offensive production for South Carolina. You know, they've got a couple of guys who have had nice starts this season. Freshman Will Craddock, probably chief among them. KJ Scobie, who's probably the name that SEC fans know the best from this South Carolina team, is off to a pretty good start as well. But for the most part, it's a team that's really struggled. 260 team batting average, that's worst in the SEC. They also don't really have any one thing offensively they really hang their hat on. They don't steal a ton of bases. They don't make things happen like that. They're not overly physical. They do have some power, but not a ton. So that's been the biggest issue. There are others. They've had injuries on the mound, which has really sapped their depth there. But when they've actually won games so far this season, it has been the pitching that has bailed out the offense.
I've heard somebody describe South Carolina this way. They said that they don't have the pitching depth to be real competitive in the midweek. Like, they need to save their best arms for the weekend, like every team does. But then they also don't have the offensive firepower necessarily to slug their way to midweek victories. Is that accurate?
I think that's totally accurate. Yeah, whoever said that, I think nailed it. Like, because they have had an issue this season with midweek games, particularly losing games to teams that – I mean, the most egregious one was Queens, which is a new-to-Division I the last several years program out of Charlotte that really hasn't established itself as any sort of consistent threat at the D1 level. They've lost to the Citadel. They lost to Charlotte this past week. That one's not as bad as the others, but they have had a midweek issue where they've really struggled to pick up the wins that most other SEC teams just kind of pick up, you know, pretty easily and without too much incident in the midweek. And that's been a struggle as well. But yeah, they do kind of board their pitchers all for the weekend. And so to the extent they're dangerous the first couple days when they've got their pitchers.
You know, I wondered how it would go when Paul Mainieri got hired there. The thought I had at the time when he got hired was he's had a lot of success, but it had been a while since he had had that success. And, you know, he hadn't like whenever he got out of it at LSU, it was right before everything changed in terms of, you know, transfer portal, NIL. And so he didn't go through it like Dave Van Horn and Tim Corbin and Mike Bianco and all these coaches who, you know, like they lived through that transition and figured out how to make it work on the other end. I wonder, do you think that that's what's happening in any way at South Carolina right now?
I think it's a part of it. He's been pretty honest. And I think sometimes maybe brutally honest to an extent that South Carolina doesn't necessarily want him to be honest about some of the struggles. You know, he admitted last year that the SEC was, and I'm paraphrasing, but the SEC was further along than he thought they were. Like, he was surprised by the level of play week to week in the SEC. And I think that has something to do with all the things you're talking about. You know, just the talent consolidation in the top conferences and specifically within the top programs in the top conferences has made it to where the SEC is what it is. But that was alarming to me because for two things. One is he had been out of the game a couple of years, not 10 years. And then secondarily, he was still at a lot of games at LSU. Like, he still would show up and sit, you know, with Skip Bertman. And so he saw the game up close pretty well. So the idea that he got caught flat-footed on that, while that might be true, was a little bit of an alarm bell for me when I first heard him say that.
I wanted to ask you about South Carolina and their Friday starter. I assume it's going to be Josh Gunner again this weekend. That's who started for him last week at South Carolina. Am I right that did they have a no-hitter going into the ninth inning or the 10th inning of that game against Florida? I know he pitched 6 1/3 without a hit, but, I mean, it was a game that it felt like they easily could have won, and they lose 1-0 in extras.
Yeah, and that is probably the single game that shows and illustrates the issues that they've had this season, because they pitched it well enough to win 99 times out of 100, and it just so happened that we're talking about the one outlier here where they took a no-hitter into the ninth, but they only had one hit themselves. It was a single in the fourth inning, and they end up losing that game 1-0 because they just didn't do anything offensively. And, oh, by the way, they lost the next game 3-0. So they didn't score a run against Florida until the Sunday game of that series, and that just goes to show, like we said, they're competitive for a couple days on the weekend when they've got all their pitchers, but once that depth goes away, they struggle a little bit more, and then the offense just in general has been a real sore spot for them so far this season.
And then I think it was 13-3 in game three against Florida, and that was on a 3-run home run. So it sounds to me, and you've seen him play more than I have, obviously, is there just a lot of holes in the lineup?
There are, yeah. And it's also a lineup that I think was always going to take some time because they really went, no pun intended, with their opponent this weekend. They really went whole hog into the portal. Like they really, and I think they got some talented players out of the portal. Like I think they did a relatively good job, but we've seen that if you don't have that carryover from year to year, if you don't have a core of established players from year to year, it can take some time for that to all come together. And so when you combine that with some injuries, they lost their starting catcher, Reese Moore, or the guy, at least from an offensive standpoint, was their best catching option. They lost him for the season, so that's been part of it as well. It's a lot of holes in the lineup. It's also just that they don't have a centerpiece, right? The mm-hmm. best player, the best all-around player on their team is KJ Scobie, who is a solid defensive shortstop. He is a solid offensive player, but he's not someone who's going to hit 15 to 20 home runs. He's not someone who's going to hit 400. He's not someone who's going to steal 25 bags. He's just a really nice player that on a good team should probably be the fourth or fifth best player. And as it is, he's South Carolina's best guy. And he's just not, I don't mean this to be disrespectful, he's a very good player, but he's just not the centerpiece of a good SEC team, I don't think.
Today's show brought to you by H&R Tire and Auto. They're a third-generation family-owned business serving Northwest Arkansas since 1976. Just like great baseball programs, H&R is built on consistency, trust, and doing things the right way. No shortcuts and no gimmicks at H&R Tire and Auto. Joe, I want to get your thoughts on Arkansas beating Mississippi State last weekend. Seems like, you know, to some people, maybe let's start here. Was it an upset? Because I think a lot of people, if you look at the rankings, thought it was. But I know there's also kind of this thought that, hey, that's just what Arkansas does at home.
Yeah, I didn't see it necessarily as an upset. I saw it as a coin flip series where no result was really going to shock me all that much. Mm. I mean, maybe some of the individual score lines could have shocked me, but in terms of the result, nothing I think was going to totally surprise me there because I do have a lot of respect for this Mississippi State team. I think it's really good. I famously picked them as my national champion in the preseason because I just really like the vibe of this team. But I saw it as a coin flip because who really walks into Baum Walker and has a ton of success? Like, don't get me wrong, the occasional series here and there, it happens. It's baseball. But for the most part, like, you're just not walking into that stadium and having a ton of success. And also, you know, I feel like one of the Arkansas's most ardent defenders in the national media because I just have so much respect for the way this program year to year, even when the team has questions. And they do have some questions this year that we could talk about. But they just find a way. And they just found a way to win that series. Not everything went right. It wasn't necessarily the prettiest series that you've ever seen in your life. It was dramatic. But they just found a way to win a home series against an elite SEC team. And that's just kind of – that's the reason they've won 18 SEC games for the last 10 years, basically, every year. They find a way in series like that.
I tell you, the team that I've kind of started comping Arkansas to this year, and I wonder if you think it's a fair comparison, is Texas a year ago. You know, Texas, they were elite on the mound. They played great defense, and Arkansas has got to get some things fixed defensively. But they weren't real good offensively. I think they were 12th in the SEC in runs scored last year, but they still won the league by two games. It shows that if you can play good defense and you can pitch, you can really win. That's what this kind of reminds me of with Arkansas right now.
Yeah, I think it's a fair comparison, and what Arkansas will have to defend against as the season goes on. Is what hurt Texas late last year is that they relied on such a narrow core of pitchers who were elite all season. Mm-hmm. But once you got to the postseason, Dylan Volantis, a freshman, was a little bit worn out. Ruger Riojas, through a lot of innings, was a little bit worn out. And so I like Arkansas's depth on the mound. So on paper, I don't think they have the same issue. But you know how this goes. As the season goes on, coaches tend to trust fewer and fewer pitchers. And so could you see – a Hunter Dietz wearing down a little bit just because he's never had this kind of workload? Like, you could definitely see that. Gabe Gackle, as long as he stays in the rotation, is probably going to throw a career high in innings. Is he going to hold up? Is Cole Gibler going to be a guy that can give you what he's given you out of the bullpen in terms of bulk innings all the way through to June? Those are going to be what determines, I think, ultimately how far this team can go, because you're right. The pitching is elite. Some questions on the mound. It's just, will that depth hold up long enough to allow Arkansas to not necessarily run some of these pitchers into the ground?
It's a little early to be talking about the postseason, but I do want to ask you, just kind of generally speaking, where Arkansas fits right now when you talk about teams that could be in that hosting picture, because you look at their metrics, Joe, and they're not real great right now. Now, I know if they continue to win in the SEC, it's probably all going to, you know, work itself out. But it does feel like if, you know, they're a team that goes, say, 15-15 in the conference, they may have to go on the road for that regional round.
Yeah, in that way, it kind of is reminiscent of, was it 22?
Yes,
Matt. It was a little bit reminiscent of that, because I've had the same thought. I've looked at their metrics and gone, whoa, because it's too early to really parse the RPI. So let me get that out of the way first as a disclaimer. But by now, I think you can kind of see some trends. And I think one of the trends for Arkansas is that while the path is still there, because if you win enough games in the SEC, the path is always there, they may have to work a little harder for it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, little things matter on scheduling, and scheduling is hard. So that's another disclaimer I want to throw out there. But the two games against Northern Colorado just aren't helping you.
No.
And playing them twice, I think, is a choice. and is one they're going to have to overcome eventually. And thank goodness you won both of them, you know, because if you lose it, it's even more difficult to overcome. But this, it does strike me as a season in which Arkansas might have to work, you know, twice as hard to get half as far with some of these other teams that are already ahead of the game from a metric standpoint.
Hunter Dietz, you mentioned him a second ago. What have you thought watching him this year?
I really like what I've seen from him. I know that some of the starts haven't been great, but you have to remember that he is basically still a freshman in terms of experience. Mm-hmm. So not only is he having to learn how to be a starting pitcher in college baseball, he's also doing it on the fly in the SEC. He's also learning to trust his body again. Like, I think that's something that you and I and other people in the media that didn't play high level sports can't really quantify, is like how much it is difficult to come back from an injury and trust your body the same way again. But the stuff has been great. And that's the first thing for me that I was looking for, is does the stuff look electric? Because it sure looked electric in the fall. And as long as he holds that stuff, he's going to have a chance to be really, really good. So I like everything I've seen from him. Could we nitpick some of the starts? And sure, of course we could. But I just think we need to remember that we're grading a little bit on a curve here, because we're talking about a really, really inexperienced pitcher. I think there's just going to be some ups and downs, but everything I've seen so far for me personally has been really positive.
You mentioned you picked Mississippi State to win the national championship, so I would assume you think they would win the SEC, although, as we know, that does not always work out that way. Texas is off to a really good start. Are they the favorites in the SEC? Who maybe are some teams that are going to challenge them?
Yeah, I think Texas has to be seen as the favorite at this point. Just given that they're really well-rounded. They're a little bit like last season, when I like their pitching more than I like their offense, but I think their offense is better, and I think they've got more depth on the mound. So at this stage, I think they have to be seen as a favorite. Obviously, I like State. The thing I like about State most is just that they are the true team in college baseball that can truly say, we have 13, 14 position players we really like. A lot of coaches say that and don't really mean it, and certainly they don't mean it by the way they make their lineups out, but State is actually playing 13 or 14 position players. I think that keeps a team sharp, keeps a team fresh, and it's a really, really elite lineup. And the pitching has lived up to expectations so far. I'm fascinated always by Georgia and just the amount of talent they have, especially on the mound they've added through the portal. But there's a little bit of a I don't want to discount what they've done the last 2 years, but they've lost on home turf the last two postseasons. And does it start to become a thing with Georgia baseball that they play well in the regular season and don't play well in the postseason? We'll have to see on that. But as far as the regular season goes, I think they're certainly going to be in the mix alongside certainly Arkansas is going to be there. The one wild card, of course, is LSU, right? Like, the struggles have been well documented. I've certainly talked about it plenty on my podcast and my shows. And I don't have all of the answers, but that's a team that if they decide to flip a switch, they're certainly talented enough to get back in this mix. But right now, they've got enough problems. I'm not sure I'm betting on that.
Let's get you out here on this. I mean, Arkansas is going to be favored, if that's even a thing in college baseball, to win at South Carolina this weekend. What do you think the key is for the Razorbacks to come out of there with the road win?
I think you're going to have to understand that the first two starting pitchers for South Carolina are good pitchers, and that it's not necessarily – If you come out of the gate slow, you've got to stick with your approach. You've got to understand that, hey, if we scratch two or three runs here, we feel pretty good about our ability to win this game. But sometimes when you have a team that's considered a lesser team, and let's face it, these are human beings. They understand that they're favored to win this series, that they feel like they should win this series even on the road. But if you come out and put up five, you know, if your offense puts up five straight zeros, you can't panic there because mm-hmm. you're still very much in that game, given how much South Carolina has scored. So this might be a weekend where you have to be content winning relatively ugly 4-1 and move on and be pretty satisfied with that, because I think that's just what these games are going to demand.
Should be interesting. Joe Healy of D1 Baseball runs SEC Extra there. Joe, you do a great job. Appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, appreciate it, Matt. Always happy to be on.
All right, thank you. Hey, when it comes to your game day, you want the best in your lineup. That includes your eggs. Eggland's Best delivers more of the nutrition you need with 6 times more vitamin D and 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. You can score now with Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. For more information, go to egglandsbest.com. I want to tell you, too, we're brought to you by Southern Loft. They believe that your home should reflect your unique personality. That's why they offer a wide variety of stylish furniture pieces that are perfect for any taste. Whether you're looking for a new sofa for the living room, a sleek dining room table, they've got just what you need. When you're looking for that piece of furniture that reflects you, visit Southern Loft, 3155 North College Avenue in Fayetteville, or call 479-856-6100. Bubba Carpenter's in here with me now. What do you say about the Northern Colorado series? I mean, that was I really want to try to be respectful to that team, because I know that there's a lot of things like those are not equal teams that are playing against each other the last couple of days. But boy, I tell you, I've never seen a team struggle to throw strikes, I think, as much as Northern Colorado did the last 2 days. I meant to go back and look this up, but I think that if you put the two games together, there's a very good chance, and this doesn't happen very often. I don't know if I've ever seen it happen, to be honest with you, over multiple games, that they threw more pitches out of the strike zone than they threw in the strike zone.
You know, I think Phil mentioned it once, and it was lopsided at best. I teach my young kids, and I'll ask them all the time, what's the best pitch in baseball? And they know the answer now. Most of them will say curveball, fastball, change, you know, slider, whatever. But it's strike one, you know. And so I try to train them to understand, look, the key is throwing a strike and the ability to throw strikes. And if you can't – I mean, you don't have to have necessary command of all your pitches, but you got to have a little bit of control to be able to throw something over the plate. And I was surprised that they couldn't do that. It was hard to watch, and I was proud of our hitters, because a lot of people think that's easy hitting when you get guys that are out there that are wild like that. You can just kind of keyhole them and wait for a pitch to hit, but it's hard because it's ball one, ball two, ball three, strike one, ball two. You know, I mean, it's hard to stay locked in. I thought we did a pretty good job of staying in the zone and just taking what they gave us. I mean, what was it, 14 walks on Tuesday? I think 15
in the first game.
Yeah, 15 was the record. We thought we were going to get it. I think
I actually think 17 is the record.
Oh, really? Yeah. Phil told me wrong.
Yeah,
I thought he said Alabama.
I think 17 against – that may be Arkansas's record for walks that they have issued. When Arkansas – remember the Ole Miss game in 2021? It was back and forth. Uh-huh. And I think the final score was 18-14. The wind was just howling out.
Yeah.
Ole Miss, I believe, walked Arkansas 17 times that day.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I think you're right. I remember it.
I think that's the record.
Yeah. That's ugly. That's bad.
Either way, 14 is a lot of walks. And then they walked 9 more yesterday. I mean, that's 23 walks over 2 days. And just I've got the pitch counts and strikes right here. You look at their guys yesterday, 31 strikes and 61 pitches, 6 strikes and 15 pitches, 18 and 37, 8 and 14, 8 and 18, 4 and 8, 10 and 17, 1 and 2. Look at the day before. In fact, yesterday may have been the better day. The day before, Bubba, their starter threw 26 strikes out of 67 pitches. I've never seen anything like that. 24 and 41, 20 and 41, 24 and 46. 26 and 46, and yeah, I mean, it's that was actually Brissy, 26 and 46. So it just wasn't, just how hard is it to play offense when the other team has so much trouble putting it over the plate?
I think it's harder. I think that's why you, if you want to relate it to like, like pro ball. You get in rookie ball. Guys are wild. It's hard to hit down there. They don't know where the hell the ball's going. As you work up the ranks, guys are more around the plate. They have more of a plan. It's actually easier to hit the higher up you get. But as a hitter, it's tough because, I mean, like I said, there's everything looks good coming up there. I mean, they're not throwing blazing fastballs. Their breaking balls aren't that good. Their changeups, they were showing their changeups and their curveballs. So you knew what was coming, and everything looks so good, but you've actually got to zone in or you'll fool around and get yourself out on a pitch you shouldn't swing at. Mm-hmm. And I saw a couple of our guys do that, especially yesterday. We swung at some 0-0 pitches that we really shouldn't swing at. Because the guy doesn't have an out pitch to get you out, so you ought to zone in a little bit more and be a little bit more selective. And if you have to, take your walk. But I think it all comes down to discipline. And, you know, hopefully – my thing is if you swing at bad pitches in BP, you're going to swing at bad pitches in game. If you swing at bad pitches on a Tuesday or Wednesday, you're going to swing at bad pitches on a weekend, and you don't want that to start happening. But I thought we did a pretty good job for the most part. We expanded the zone a couple times. A couple guys got fastballs up here, and they were swinging at them, which is you see 86 at the top of the zone. You want to hit it over the building. So, I mean, that's understandable.
I thought Damian Ruiz was a really, you know, not that there were really any, you know, bad spots offensively, but, you know, a bright spot offensively was Ruiz and just his ability to get on base. He drew several walks, got some hits, had the home run. And I thought the home run was really timely. You know, they're down 2-0 because Brissy didn't have a very good start in that Tuesday night game. Ruiz gets a home run, and you know, it felt there for just a split second. In Northern Colorado, they are not Stetson. But there for just a split second, it felt like that Stetson game where all these guys are getting on base at the start, they're up, what's going to happen right here? And you know, I thought Ruiz hitting the home run was it felt like it settled everything. It's like, okay, everything's going to be okay. They're going to be able to figure this out.
Yeah, I think so. Anytime your leadoff guy gets on five times, it's usually going to be a pretty good day for you. So that was good to see. I think he got on base 5 out of 6 plate appearances. Mm-hmm. So that was good to see. And, you know, what do you have? The home run, he hit the ball down the line by the third baseman. I think it was ruled a double. Mm-hmm. But he was flying around the bases. That was fun to watch. I didn't even watch the ball. I just watched him run. It's so much fun watching him circle the bases. The
last 2 days, and you may have heard me ask Christian Turner about this yesterday in the post game. You got to see Ruiz and Turner, who I think are probably their two fastest guys. Pompey might be in the conversation, but Ruiz and Turner, both of them went home to third. Now there was the error. You know, so one was only scored a double, and then Turner was scored a triple yesterday. Man, it's like both of them, the speed that they have from first to third is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like when they make that turn, they can really go.
Well, you just said it. The key is making that turn. If you make a bad turn, and I know you know this, but if you let's say you go out, you make a wide turn, and you take a step and a half out of your base lane. Mm-hmm. It takes a step and a half to get back in, you know, so you lost 3 steps. People don't realize that, how important just the actual turn. And, you know, whether you hit the base with your left foot or your right foot, I don't emphasize that. I just emphasize hitting the inside corner of that bag so you can create an angle to the next bag, and it's so important. And I love – and I know DVH is big on – this is – there's so many little things that we do here that I don't think other schools do, but just the ability to cut those corners like that are huge. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the difference in going first to third in certain situations where other teams can't do it. I've seen Helfrich do it. I've seen Ruiz do it a couple times. I've seen Ruiz do it a couple times on line drives to left field, which is crazy to me to think you could do that. But we've got multiple guys. And I was talking about Souza going home to second on the ball he hit the right. Mm-hmm. In Tuesday's game, just the speed and the way he turned the corner around first base into second wasn't even close. I mean, we just have so many guys that can run, and it's not even about the stolen bases. We're going to steal some bases, but it's that extra 90 feet that Dave always talks about, and well, any coach talks about, but the importance of it, especially when you get into SEC play, it's so important.
Yeah, they were 9-for-9 against Northern Colorado, but then I think they were 3-for-4 against Mississippi State in the finale, and I think that, again, Northern Colorado, it's a totally different deal, but they kind of shut the running game down at some point yesterday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you think about they probably could have run ruled them potentially had they, you know, forced the issue a little bit more on the bases. They still had an opportunity to run rule them. They couldn't get Ruiz in from second base with one out in the seventh inning. And the game yesterday, it probably, like, you feel a whole lot different about it if they get that run in the seventh inning, because Lorenzini comes out of the bullpen and it doesn't go well for him, and Northern Colorado scores four. And so just think about the razor thin margin of, we're talking about a 10-0 win on the heels of a 13-2 win. And then all of a sudden it's a 9-4 win. It's amazing how that can work out.
Yeah. I felt bad for Lorenzini though. You know, he just, it's been a while since he's been out there, but he just didn't look sharp. I still think he's going to be good though. I like how he's on top of the ball throwing downhill. His release point's like 6'6", 6'7", something like that, height. So I think he's going to be really good, but I think he's had a couple of tough luck outings, and so hopefully he'll get another chance to get back out there.
To give people, real quick, just so they know what I'm talking about when I say Northern Colorado's not on the same playing level as other teams, they have 5.8 scholarships. That's it.
So you told me that. I didn't want to say that on the air because I didn't know if that's something that's public knowledge.
That's what Mike Anderson told me during an interview on Monday.
Yeah, that's the poor guy. How do you compete in today's game?
And I think there are a lot of teams at that level who are dealing with scholarship allocation like that. Like, I think it would not surprise me if a lot of the SWAC teams were dealing with like a scholarship level somewhere in that range, but. You know, it's you can pay for what you can afford, and and they're going on the road. They bust here from Greeley, Colorado. That's like a 14-hour bus ride. You know, that's not an easy bus ride.
And you mean there's no charters?
No, I mean, so you know, and they were going to bus, I think, to Omaha either today or last night after the game, and they're going to spend 3 days there. They played two home games this year. They had one that got smoked out because of the wildfires in Nebraska. The air quality level was way too low to play that day in Greeley. And then they played a doubleheader on Saturday because their Sunday game, the wind chill was going to be 19 degrees, and they weren't going to be able to play on that day. So they've had, like, they played two home games, but they've really only had one day at their home ballpark. They played 22 games this season. I think they played, or 23 games, they played 21 on the road. They're about to play three more on the road against Omaha this weekend. You know, I think it's probably, if they're having that much trouble, you know, if they have that few scholarships, it's probably going to be tough for them to pay a game guarantee for teams to come in and play them there. So, you know, they're going out and they're trying to collect game checks to help pay for the program. It's a tough deal. You know, so I feel for that program because, you know, they're fighting an uphill battle.
Yeah, it's tough. And like I said, I didn't want to say it on the radio. I didn't say anything about the scholarship issue, but I did look at their roster, and almost the whole team's from Colorado almost. Mm-hmm. I forget there were 20 some players, but just about everybody on the roster is from Colorado. So you can tell they're not reaching out and pulling, you know, five scholarships. I guess you can't do it, but yeah, it's tough.
That's one of those series, and I talked to Joe about this a second ago. They're 3-20. Arkansas's RPI, and again, it's early to talk RPI, I get it, but like their RPI sweeping Northern Colorado fell 13 spots in the last 2 days. You remember 2022 when Arkansas didn't get to host because they played eight games against in-state teams. I think they may have played Grambling twice, and their RPI just, I think it was like 40-something when the postseason rolled around. They're going to have to win a lot of SEC games, I think, to offset what some of these non-conference teams. And I don't think it's the weekend teams that are hurting them. It's some of these midweek teams that they've played.
Well, and wasn't that the same year that Ole Miss and A&M, didn't they drop out of midweek games late in the year? They canceled them.
Might have been.
For that same reason. I want to say A&M did it.
And there was an Ole Miss Arkansas State game one year. I can't remember if it was that year. But
so, I mean. Yeah,
You got to do what you got to do.
But Matt, Dave's not going to do that to Coach Anderson. I mean, they go way back.
They do.
But that does kind of suck. I don't like the whole way that you get penalized for that. But I mean, I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's You know, basketball, they got rid of the RPI. They go with the net, and I wonder if baseball might come up with its own like it's something different to replace RPI, where maybe it doesn't take all of that into consideration. I don't know. A reminder, our baseball podcast sponsored by H&R Tire and Auto. They're a local shop that's been family-owned for three generations. They've built their reputation on taking care of customers the right way. That kind of longevity doesn't happen by accident at H&R Tire and Auto. I thought Jackson Kershaw's performance, the three innings that he pitched on Tuesday night, like, that really caught my attention. I thought it was the best pitching performance of anybody that the Razorbacks threw out there over the last couple of days. I think, Bubba, and we talk about the bullpen, you know, the top line of the bullpen or the front line of the bullpen, you're talking Gibbler, help me here, McIlvain, Eaves, McGuire, Coyle, those five probably. I think Kershaw's right there on the edge of being included in that group, or at least getting some meaningful innings to see if he can pitch as well as they are on the weekend.
Yeah, I think he looked good the other night, on 94, 95, 96. Might have thrown a 97 or two with good slider.
Mm-hmm.
Love the way he gets on the mound. He just has an intensity to him. So pitches with a little bit of attitude. I like that. So, yeah, I think he had a really good outing. You probably see him this weekend.
I think so.
You know, but it's tough to crack that core of guys. I mean, there's some, you know, especially with the starting pitching, how it's been. So, I mean, but I mean, the bullpen, you look at what they did against Mississippi State, Matt, and I'm still amazed how they shut those guys down late inning, especially that last game on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after the three innings, I think in the second inning, I mean, there was just, after that, there was just nothing. So it was pretty impressive.
Like, and you know, like Mississippi State, they still had a lot of hits, but do you look at that whenever you talk about they shut them down, or are you just focused on getting off the field without them scoring?
No, I look at their bats. You know, I mean, balls are hitting hard. Mm. They did get some hits, but they just flipped a couple out there.
Okay.
You know, like you look at Chance in the nine hole hitting 450-something. You know, he flicked a couple out there. The leadoff guy, Teal, got a couple base hits. It's not like they're hitting the ball 110 in the gap. You know, they were getting on base and finding ways, but they were taking – uncomfortable at bats, I thought. I just thought our pitchers were in control. And, you know, to me, it just, yeah, they're really good in the bullpen. And I think it's going to be, I think the key for us, I know we haven't gotten to South Carolina yet. There was a couple things I wanted to mention about Northern Colorado, but I think the key for us against South Carolina is getting in the bullpen. They got a couple good starters. Phillips is good, you know, Gunther's good. You know, we know that, but I think if we can get in their bullpen, I think it'll be some good hitting, hopefully.
Yeah, you heard Joe say a second ago, like they're thin on the mound at South Carolina.
Yeah. But, hey, I did want to talk a little bit about, you know, you look at the Brissy game, and I didn't get a chance to talk to Matt Hobbs. I don't know if you did or not.
I haven't.
He didn't have his fastball. He's usually 94, 95. I've always talked about it. It looks like his fastball's got a second gear. He just didn't really have it coming out of the pen. But he pitched 90, 91. Which, you know, I don't know if he's thrown 90-91 probably since his junior year in high school, but he found a way to get outs. And I was impressed by that. Just the way he just maneuvered through the lineup without his good stuff at all. I thought that was pretty impressive. You know, I liked seeing Rutenbar at first base. But you see the importance of footwork around the bag. I don't know if y'all have the broadcast on in the media room, but those two replays that we had, you know, at first base, you know, Carter's foot is still like on the middle of the bag. If he'll move to the edge of the bag, you know, he's gaining an extra 4 or 5 inches. Those plays aren't replayed. And that just goes to show you, you know, the work it takes to be a good first baseman. You know, I love the fact there was a tough hop in the dirt and he just chested it up like a catcher.
I don't think he ever touched it with his glove.
Yeah, you know, I don't think he did. Hit his chest and it fell into his hands.
Yeah.
He's going to find a way to get it done. It just takes time, though. You know, you can't just throw any big donkey over there and expect him to move around. That's what's so impressive about Reese Robinette, how he just floats from side to side on the bag. But, boy, you got to be able to get to the corner of the bag and maximize your stretch. You know, and there was one where his foot was right in the center of the bag, and he reached out like this, no stretch at all. You could tell he was still trying to feel for the bag. And sometimes, until you get that feel, you just got to go to the bag, look. Mm-hmm. Just look down. Make sure your foot's in the right spot. Then find the ball. And but he'll get it. I mean, I love his approach at the plate. So I just wanted to mention that because people don't realize sometimes the value, what a good first baseman can save you over there.
Well, how about how he played behind the plate yesterday?
Yeah.
Like that was – Van Horn made the comment afterward. He said, if you don't notice the catcher, they're doing a good job. And you didn't notice that he was, you know, filling in for Ryder Helfrich. I didn't feel like.
Yeah. No, that's a great quote from Dave. I say that about umpires all the time. If you don't notice them, then they had a really good game. But that's – I mean, that's so true,
though.
Let's say
that for Mark Wagers yesterday because you didn't notice him. I thought it was a good game behind the plate for him.
Yeah, it was pretty good. The zone got a little wide both days, which is crazy. Like, even on Tuesday, with them walking us 14 times, I mean, there were some balls 3 or 4 or 5 inches off the plate that were called strikes.
I think you have to if you ever want to go home.
Yeah. And Brissy got one, too, in that first inning that I think helped. But, I mean, it was wide on both ways. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think it's good we got a couple of wins. Feel bad for Lorenzini giving up 4. Wish we'd have got the shutout. But I'm excited about this weekend. And you know, you go into South Carolina, Matt, and I guess I started doing this in 2018, and I remember South Carolina like, wow. Mm-hmm. When you go to South Carolina, you get your hands full. Mm-hmm. And this could be a little bit of a trap series for us because they've lost 5 in a row. Mm-hmm. We know they've got a couple of good starting pitchers. Lineups, you know, I don't think they're going to hit. I don't think they're going to do much with our pitching, but we're going to have to score against their guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they can get fired up, their back's against the wall. They feel like they need a win. And I don't know if Maneri's, if he's, you know, where he's at as far as, you know, is he going to make it through the season
or
not? Yeah.
I think he's in trouble.
Yeah.
Ray Tanner hired him.
Yeah.
Ray Tanner's not the AD anymore.
Yeah.
And so there's not any loyalty there necessarily from the AD to the coach. And I think, you know, I mean, it's been a while since South Carolina's been on the top of its game. Mm-hmm. You know, they won back-to-back national championships in 10 and 11, and they lost in the title game in 12, thanks to Perry Costello and his performance behind the plate against Arkansas. But, you know, it's been a while since they've been at that really, really high level, but they still care there.
Yeah.
I mean, like, imagine if Arkansas baseball had been down relative for 7 or 8 years. Like, I know that there's still going to be a lot of people here who care. And you look at the and it's a midweek game, it's an afternoon game, but did you see the picture of their seats during the Charlotte game?
Yeah.
I mean, it's people are speaking by kind of staying away there right now, but you still hear it online, like the chatter is strong. They want Maneri gone. I think a lot of people do there in Columbia. They just see it as it was kind of a questionable pick in the first place, and it is not going well for them at all.
Well, that picture, yeah, I was going to bring up that picture. Phil pulled it up during our game, and it was crazy. There's no one in the stands. Mm-hmm. It's Tuesday night against Charlotte. You're getting beat at the time. I don't know mm-hmm. what the score was at the time, but they were getting beat. But boy, you feel like when you lose the fans, then you're in trouble now. Now, hopefully, you can keep the clubhouse together and not lose the players. But yeah, it's feel bad for him because he seems like such a good dude. But I mean, the game's changed so much. I mean, he was out of the game 2 years,
three? Longer than that. I think 21 was his last year at LSU, and he came back in 25.
Yeah, so I mean, the game's changed a lot.
Yeah.
In that amount of time,
and he had lost his fastball a little bit with LSU there at the end too. I mean, you know, keep in mind, when Jay Johnson came in at LSU, he was talking about, hey, we got to catch up with Arkansas in the SEC West. I mean, LSU had fallen back.
Well, LSU's scuffing a little bit right now.
Yeah, they are. They're not like South Carolina,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you can look at LSU and say, okay, that's a good team. Mm-hmm. They're just not playing as a team right now. Yeah.
They get OU coming into Baton Rouge this weekend. OU's playing really well. I'm really interested to see how that series goes. Arkansas, they're going to keep the rotation the same. They're going to go Gackle, Dietz, Fisher again. Boy, it feels like Gabe needs to have a really strong Friday night outing.
I think so, especially going up against who he's going to be against, mm-hmm. Josh Gunther. He's that should be a good one. That should be a really good game. And I think Gabe's going to do great. I liked his last outing. I thought he did well against Mississippi State. I thought he mixed his pitches well. So did a pretty good job in neutralizing some of those bats. And Mississippi State, I hate to keep going back to them, but I was so impressed mm-hmm. with them offensively. Mm-hmm. Well, and their starting pitching. You know, they're if they had a bullpen, they'd be really good. We should have got a couple of dudes, but yeah.
I mean, anything can happen, and you know, maybe South Carolina catches lightning in a bottle, but if you're Arkansas and you pitch that well against Mississippi State, like the difference between those two lineups, Mississippi State to South Carolina, is striking. Mm-hmm. You would think that those pitchers should be able to go in this weekend. Now, it's a road game. They haven't played on the road yet. Like, you know, the only games they played away from home were in Arlington, and there were more Razorback fans there in Arlington than there were at Baum Walker Stadium. But, you know, so but we'll see how it goes on the road. But you would think that this should go fairly well for Arkansas from a pitching standpoint.
I think so. And you look at their numbers, South Carolina 116 in the SEC. It's only three games. Mm-hmm. But look, they did have to face Liam Peterson
yep.
on Friday night.
Yep. We'll see here next week.
Yeah, and I don't – there's Saturday guys. Their rotation's good. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they did see three really good mm-hmm. pitchers. And then the bullpen for Florida has a bunch of dudes coming in throwing 100.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they saw –
Did they hit 102 the other night?
Oh, they did?
I think so.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I know they got some dudes, though. But still, their numbers just aren't very good.
Yeah.
I heard part of what Joe was saying is they're not really – I think he called it, and he said something about they don't really have an identity.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have some kind of identity as an offense. And I don't think they've developed one yet. And, mm-hmm. we're in SEC play. You should kind of have a little bit of a feel for what you are offensively by this point.
How about Arkansas? What are they? Like, what's their offensive identity right now?
I think a scrappy team that finds multiple ways to score. I think we'll hit some home runs. We're not going to hit 127. Mm. I think we're going to find a way to get on base. I think we're going to move runners when we have to. I think we'll hit some balls in the gap. I think we'll have a lot of doubles. I like doubles. I think that's kind of how we are. I think we can beat you in multiple ways. And you know, Phil's been talking a lot about our magic number. If we score five runs, we win.
Mm-hmm.
And with our pitching staff, we're not going to have to score a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've got to make sure we're playing good defense.
Mm-hmm.
Pompey, I thought Pompey looked great at third.
Yes.
He's so athletic.
To me, him hitting is like the best thing that can happen for this team. Now, obviously, yeah. It helps him offensively, but it keeps him on the field and it keeps that glove on the field. And he's playing a really, really solid third base. I mean,
yeah.
In the last three games, you could probably put a gold star next to seven plays.
Yeah, I think at least. And his first step, he's so quick. Like those choppers in front of the plate, that's a split decision,
mm-hmm.
And he does such a good job of coming and getting that ball. I liked his at-bats on Tuesday. I almost called a home run. I missed it by one. He flied out to center, and then he hit a home run next at-bat. But I actually, believe it or not, I liked the single to left more because it was a slider away,
mm-hmm.
two-strike slider away. He's been pulling off of that pitch, kept his nose on it, his barrel stayed through the zone,
mm-hmm.
and he hit it to left field. Didn't hit it hard, but he hit it out there for a base hit. To me, that's a good sign right there because it was a two-strike slider, probably right on the edge of the plate, a 50-50 pitch. I've seen him miss that pitch a lot. So the fact that he stayed on it, that to me, that's a good sign. Now, I do like the home run.
Mm-hmm.
That was a rocket. I don't remember what it was, 110 or something off the bat, but it was a rocket. It was a low-line drive. But I do like the fact that he's laying off some of the sliders out of the zone and then hitting the ones that are in the zone. So I think he's trending in the right way. But he's a lot of fun to watch defensively.
Over the last five games, and this includes just the home run that he hit because he only had the one at-bat last Friday, he's raised his batting average by 54 points. So that's – like a lot of batting averages, they're falling right now to see his going up. And, of course, it had – it's hard to go lower than 188, but it is a good sign, I think.
Well, you asked about offense earlier, what I look at. His first four at-bats, he hit the ball over 100 miles an hour. All
mm-hmm.
four bats.
Mm-hmm.
That, his home run. I take that back. His home run, I think, was 102, because his home run was the slowest of all his other contact
mm-hmm.
up to that point. But if four balls over 100 miles an hour, it's a good sign. Of course, these guys are so strong, Matt. It's like I've told you, like 95 is the threshold for a mm-hmm. hard hit ball. It's lately I've cut it off. I'm cheating them. I'm going at 100. I'm only counting balls hit over 100. It's because they're so strong. Like Cahill last night.
The chopper?
Yeah, the chopper was 110. Hit 110.
It was amazing.
And he's a guy we got to get going. He's so.
I thought the opposite field hit that he had off the wall was a really good sign for him.
Yeah.
Because so many of his hits have been going straight into the ground. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, that kind of looked more like what we're used to seeing from him.
And the one off the wall, 111, where the guy caught it center field, caught it right at the wall. That was hit 111 miles an hour. That was a fastball away. And then he kept his barrel through the ball. He's just kind of rolling over. So without getting into a big mechanical talk, you know, the knee and the knob work together. So if knee and knob goes down and out, it's going to come up and out the opposite direction. That's why he's coming over the top of a lot of those balls. You can see his barrel actually working over the top. That's why he's beating a lot of balls in the ground. Man, if you can get that barrel working through the zone just a little bit more, those 110 mile an hour ground outs or choppers or 110 mile an hour bombs, which would be nice.
Yeah, he had a base running blunder yesterday trying to come home from third on a ball hit back to the mound. Stewart had one too. I think he had to have lost sight of the ball to round second the way he did.
He either lost sight of the ball or little man on his shoulder said there's two outs. Keep running.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know which one it was, but yeah, he was a little bit stunned when he had to get back. I'm like, there's no way. But Cahill's ball, I would assume right there they were reading down angle, and he just read it. You've got to read it by the pitcher, and you know if that ball's 5 feet to the left, he probably scores. Well, maybe 10 feet to the left, but yeah, I think he misread that. But I'd rather him misread it against Northern Colorado than LSU.
Defensively, they're fielding 976. I tend to think their fielding percentage is going to come up because if you look at their errors, they've committed 19 through 22 games. Eight of those errors are by Cahill Aloy in right field, or three by him, and then five by Carson Brumbaugh at shortstop. I'm not sure either of those are going to be the everyday player in those two positions. We saw Cahill at DH yesterday, saw Stewart get back into right field this week. I think he's probably – for the time being, probably going to be their right fielder with the struggles that Cahill's had. I like this defensive alignment they have. I like the infield.
Yeah.
I think Kozel's playing well enough at short. I think Souza's playing well at second, Pompey at third. It seems like, again, you got to have a really strong defense to back up and protect your pitching staff with how well they're throwing. And I think they may have found it as of right now.
I think so. And I think Zach in right field, he made a good catch last night in right center gap or Wednesday night, right center gap. Him and Ruiz were running towards each other.
Scary.
I got a little nervous right there. I wouldn't want to run into Zach Stewart. It's a big boy.
Well, especially
big
Ruiz.
Big country boy, yeah.
I mean, Ruiz probably gives up 120 pounds on Stewart.
Yeah, so I was glad that Zach called that off. But he made a good – that was a good route to a ball, slicing into the gap. I thought he looked good on that. Damian's made some good reads in left, some of the balls in left. And then Mike has been great in center. I love his routes in center. But, so defensively overall, it looks like Nolan's starting to get more comfortable with his arm. Came in and fielded a ball Tuesday night and made a good throw, sidearm throw, turned a good double play. So I think it's coming around.
I said 120 pounds. I don't know where that came from. It's a 30-pound difference.
Yeah,
Stewart looks a lot bigger than 220, though. I will say that.
Yeah. Oh, Stewart, yeah, he looks bigger than 220.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Damien's put together pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
a small guy.
You cheated him a little bit. I didn't want to go there.
I cheated both of them on. No, not 120, just 30 pounds between the two of those. This feels like, you don't ever want to say that a weekend road series, and especially in conference, is a must win. But I tell you what, with where South Carolina is and where Arkansas thinks they could get to, it feels like they got to go out there and win this series.
I think so. It's kind of like when you're playing golf and there's an easy hole, you feel like you gotta birdie it or you lose it on the field. I feel like this is that weekend where we feel like you got to go out and win that mm-hmm. win the series. A sweep would be great, you know, of course, always, but it's hard to sweep on the road. But, yeah. Man, just winning that series would be huge.
Yeah, I think they got to do it. And, you know, I would say the same thing about the Missouri series coming up here in a few weeks when they go there, because they get some dudes coming in to bomb them this year. Yeah. Everybody talking about before the season, oh, well, Arkansas misses LSU and they miss Texas. Yeah. And you know, I mean, Texas and A&M, they're good teams, but Auburn's good, you know, Florida's good, Georgia's good. They got to play all these teams. I tell everybody, like, the next quote-unquote easy SEC schedule is going to be the first one that I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I said the same thing. Now, you know, it sucks that we're not playing Texas, Tennessee, LSU. Obviously, that sucks. But, you know, it's you always like to play those guys. But, mm-hmm. I mean, there's never an easy SEC schedule.
Never.
I think last year it helped us having, you know, Mizzou and South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. May help again this year. I mean, they got to play them on the road.
Yeah.
But may help having them on the schedule, period, this year.
Yeah, we'll might see. Actually help having them on the road, getting the road series.
Some road, yeah, and that helps your RPI.
Missouri's better, though. I think they're showing life.
They're more competitive. They did get swept last week, though.
Yeah. So
they're off to an 0-3 start again. Arkansas-South Carolina, game one is going to be tomorrow night, 6 o'clock Central. First pitch between the Razorbacks and the Gamecocks. Bubba will be back on Monday. We'll talk about the series then. Tomorrow on the podcast, we'll look back at the NCAA tournament game between Arkansas and Hawaii that's played this afternoon at 3:25 Central out in Portland. We got a full team of reporters and photographers out there to cover that. Hope that you'll join us at WholeHogSports.com to see that and on our show tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.